Lord. We're trying our best to obey him with all our heart. And what if somebody like my husband, for example, gets this idea that I think is wrong and it's against my will? It never happens. But like when he said he was called to pastor, and I went, took my Bible the next morning, I said, what is this nonsense? Like, he's a teacher. It's okay. I like it. And he says he's called to pastor. And so I take my Bible and I say to God, what is this nonsense? And right there I was reading, it said, you've been called to be kings and priests. And I can't remember if I threw the Bible across the room, but I said, no, God. And so when our will is different than God's will, then what do? If we submit to God, even if we're sure in our heart, well, not in this case later I thought, but even if we're sure in our heart that he's wrong, we can trust God to work it out, right? I'm not talking about when we're being abused or hurt, because that's different. God values us. He doesn't want us being hit or battered or anything. But when it's our agenda and our will, and it doesn't agree with what somebody else thinks, whether it's an organization or our husband or whoever is in authority over us, what if we don't agree? If we can submit to the Lord what his will is and trust him, that even if they're wrong, he'll work it out. He'll turn it around and make it amazing. If we can trust God in that. And so bring your pain to him, surrender and submit to his ways, and agree with his word. I found so many times I read the word and I say, I don't really agree with that. So I better do something about that, because I'm not going to be able to change God's word or his heart. So for example, about my mother, I had to start agreeing, okay, what did he see in her? How did he see her? How should I see her? Because I want to see the way he sees. And a real long process, it's been, how does he see me? Can I really agree with that? Can God really love me? Does he really think about me in a positive way? But the more we can agree with his word, the more we can just walk in his ways and receive that peace and joy. I read that every child needs four things: acceptance, focused attention, guidance, and protection. And I'm thankful the moms in here are all doing that. So amazing. And especially Jill. Jill is the most amazing mom. I see her all the time just being really, really awesome at mothering and doing all these things, giving her children acceptance, focused attention, guidance, protection, all kinds of love. It's awesome. So anyway, I found in Psalm 27, God provides all those things that every child needs. So even if we don't have a parent, if we can get to know our Heavenly Father, he'll provide all those things if we'll come to him and if we will receive them. It's up to us to agree with him. It's up to us to receive them, right? And for our focus today, Psalm 27:10, if you ever found it there, Paul. My father and mother abandoned me. I'm like an orphan, but you took me in and made me yours. I wrote it on the Passion Translation. The file was called Mother's Day, I think, or something like that. But anyway, it doesn't matter. It's saying the same thing, but I love the way that Passion Translation kind of catches the passion, right? My mother and father abandoned me. I'm like an orphan. But you took me in and made me yours. And that can be ours. We can take that for ourselves. It's not for somebody else, the whole world out there. It's for us to hold on to. God takes us right into his heart. And he makes us his. If we will let him. We just need to let him. To surrender to his ways. To be willing to forgive. Like really forgive from the heart. Not just say, yeah, I forgive and carry on. But really forgive from the heart. He will love us. He will take us in. God will show his love for you as a mother does. He'll bring comfort. One day after my father died, I was reading the Bible and Psalm 2 verse 7 jumped out at me. You are my child. Today I've become your father. And it was like he spoke right to my heart and said, I'm the father you turn to now. And what an awesome father he's turned out to be. He's the most amazing father. He gives us guidance. In Nahum 1 verse 9, we were praying. Hans wanted to quit at the Christian school after 1 year, and we were praying about it, and Paul came. He said, look in Nahum. And Paul was 11 years old at that time. So we looked in Nahum, and this verse really stood out. Trouble will not come a second time. And we found the second year there, God did so many amazing things. He brought in good teachers and brought in money. And it was absolutely awesome what God did. And I felt like it was that promise that we had grabbed onto and walked in. And also, God gives encouragement so many times. And I have another story about Paul when he was... when he was in Carmen and they were thinking here of asking him to come here, and I was praying about it. And Isaiah 48:15 really jumped out at me. And it was Isaiah 48:15. Yes, I have called him. I will bring him, and he will succeed in his mission. God gave me that promise so clearly before he came. So anyway, our God, our Heavenly Father, our awesome God, he accepts us. We have acceptance. Is there a more beautiful picture than the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and me in the middle? What could be a more beautiful picture that we can look forward to and walk in now? Even while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. He accepted us already. We're accepted. And there's a scripture, Psalm 139, verses 17 and 18. And again, I did it in the Passion Translation. Yeah. Every single moment you're thinking of me, how precious and wonderful to consider that you cherish me constantly in your every thought. Doesn't it just taste sweet to think about that verse and to meditate on what a beautiful God? How awesome. How different than I grew up thinking of myself. Because usually I would think, oh, I did that wrong. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, you know, and here's God. He's cherishing us. He's not looking at all our mistakes. He's constantly cherishing you in his every thought. He's looking at you and he's treasuring you in his heart. He loves you. I used to hear that and I couldn't get it. Like, I would hear it in my head with my ears, but I just couldn't get it in my heart. I couldn't really believe he could love me. Like, I was someone nobody could like, right? My mom could like other people's kids way more than she could like me because she didn't like herself, right? That's how it works. But anyway, to get to that place where I could say, yeah, God actually loves me. He actually loves you. He cherishes you. He thinks about you all the time with a smile on his face. Isn't that cool? What an awesome God. I've got to know him through revelation, like through reading the word and through hearing it, but also somehow he showed me in my heart. He is love. He couldn't not love me because he is love and he is good. Because he poured his love into my heart, I can't help but want to pour it out. I can't help wanting to sow seeds of kindness and love and generosity, and it's just when he pours in, it just can't help but pour out again, right? So different from my life before God, when all I was doing was trying to figure out how to survive, how to make my own way, how to get my own way. What a whole different concept when we come to know him and love him and see that his way is better, way better. And we can follow him and have peace and joy. So the cry of my heart now is that every choice I make, every thought I think, I want it to be beautiful to my God. So I want to guard my thoughts, every single thought, every attitude, and every choice. I want it to be beautiful to him. He's an awesome God. Sometimes I feel like that lady that was on the video at the beginning there. Actually, I feel like that a little too often. But if we just step back and connect with the Holy Spirit, connect with the Lord, we don't have to be in that place all the time. He is really awesome. He redeems the lost. He doesn't just leave them there. He goes and gets them. He heals the broken. He lifts up the broken. He touches them and heals them. He restores the damaged ones. He doesn't look down on us. When we're weary, he refreshes us, gives us new strength. He goes and rescues us and brings us into our destiny. No matter how many times we wander off, he goes and gets us and brings us back on track. He's faithful. He'll never let us down. He's full of glory and grace. He's full of splendor and beauty. He's tenderly kind. I'm not just reading words. I'm talking about a God that I know and I love. And you can know him too. You can know his love for you. It's just as strong for, he's just as passionately in love with you as he is with me. It took me a long time to figure that out, but it's true that he loves me too. He makes us overcomers. We don't have to do it on our own. He will make us overcomers if we will let him. He gives us great joy as we walk in his ways. We really can live a life of joy and peace when we walk in his ways. He opens up our understanding to the ways of his wisdom. Everything he does is beautiful. His words bring freedom. Jesus came to set us free. And when we will listen to him and obey him, we'll live in freedom. And peace and well-being come from following and loving his word. And I just pray that you're not just agreeing because it sounds good, but you hear in your heart, God really loves you. He's passionate about you. He is a beautiful God. Don't walk out of here without knowing how awesome he is.
My dear wife said it's going to take 5 minutes. How many enjoyed that message? Praise Jesus. I knew Janet's mom. And she was a wonderful lady. But she struggled with being in a position that she never wanted to be in. She didn't know how to be a mother because she never had a mother. So when I met her, she wanted to be out in the field and ride a horse. She didn't want to change diapers. So she told the older kids to look after the little kids. And the older kids resented looking after the little kids. So you had a whole bunch of kids who fought each other, tooth and nail. And there I came. And I said, line up them all. Dad? No, I didn't say that. But that's how I met my wife. And she came home on the weekends and to ride horses. And I told Janet that her mom, I believe this is what happened. I believe that her mom phoned Janet and said, there's a young, muscular hunk there. You better come and check him out. But, yeah, I smoked pipe. And they didn't like it. It took me a clue for a while before I figured out they didn't really like it. I come from a place where everybody smoked. I just want to just emphasize a little bit what Janet has been saying. We all are created to receive our mother's love, nurturant, caring. There's a guy called Jack Frost. He called it storky love, because the storks in the animal world knows how to be a family. They connect together for life, and they care for each other. And so in Greek, there's a word that says storky love. It is actually family love. It is a nurturing, caring kind of love that every child needs from the time it's in the womb till it grows up. It needs to have somebody who comes alongside and believes in you. There was a lady called Wilbur Rudolph. Wilma Rudolph. Wilma Rudolph. She was called the fastest woman in the world in 1960. The interesting thing about this woman was that when she was 4 years old, she had polio. And the doctor said, you will never walk. But the mother said, according to faith, you will walk. And in 1960, she won 3 gold medals. And when she was interviewed, she said, I believed Mom. I believed Mom. Every one of us needs somebody like a mom who can come alongside and believe in us. But when it doesn't happen, like in case of Jen's family, something that is called an orphan spirit becomes developed. And you stop trusting. You don't know how to relate. You're fearful of other people and what they think of you. But God knows that. God can take an orphan spirit and brings that person into sonship or daughtership of God. And what you just heard was Jenna's journey. Gary and Marlene is not in here and they're still crying. What was her journey of discovering that she's a daughter? When she grew up among 10th in a 13th family, she was never told she was a daughter. She was told, in fact, I read her mother's diary, and it was simply just, oh, today there was another child born. And then there was 10 cows, and he'd be fed, and there was a bull, and there was this and that. And it was just like an incidental thing. She was born. But you see, in the eyes of God, it's not an incidental thing that she was born. And it took a journey for Janet to discover, not just here, but here. See, there's a truth that sometimes begins here. But when it's here, it doesn't change anything. And when it's based on emotions, some of you might be very emotional today, but emotions come and go. But when there is a truth that goes right inside your spirit, it doesn't matter what happens, it doesn't matter what people say, you can draw from that truth. Because now you're walking as a daughter or as a son in God, who says to you, I've given you a spirit. And it's not a spirit of fear. You see, a spirit of fear is exactly what an orphan spirit lives in all the time. But those who have been given the Holy Spirit has not been given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of adoption. Bears witness with your spirit that you are what? Sons and daughters, a child of God. Amen. God actually came. Jesus came. He came to save us. He came to take away the past. But in that, he came to bestow on us an identity as sons and daughters. And many times we struggle, my friends, with being orphans because we never received it. But because Janet, hear me, received it, I see it, her nurturing her own grandchildren. My mom has an orphan spirit. That's not the whole story. But she frequently was telling me, Hans, I don't know how to play with my grandchildren. I don't know how to love them. The only thing I ever know is to give them something they need, some food or some money. That's all I know how to go. And she wants to be that person, but she struggles because she doesn't have that spirit in her. But because my wife has gone through a journey, and she'll probably tell you that she hasn't arrived yet. She's still in that journey. But because she has received healing from her past wounds, she's able to be a child. with them. Amen. So I don't want to go on anymore. I know it's Mother's Day. The point that I think Jan was trying to make, that I wanted to make, is that God is also a nurturing God. He has a female side to him. And he says he made us male and female in his image. There is that tender, nurturing side to God that through the Holy Spirit, he's able to bring truth to us in areas where we did not receive it. God can hold us and bless us and heal us and minister to a broken wound, like a mother can to a child. Remember the scripture in Isaiah 49? When God says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? And the answer is, that's hardly believable. But even if she does, even though she may forget, I will not forget you. And here comes the most powerful promise. I have engraved you in the palms of my hands. Do you know what is in his hands? It's the scars of the nails on the cross. On the cross, you were engraved that you will be free and become a child of God. He paid that price. Like Janet said, it took a while because he realized that he did that for her. We can say lots of words, but when the Spirit becomes realization, the truth that when he went on that cross and he hung on that cross and his nails was in his hands, he didn't do it just for the masses, he did it for you. Then that becomes a very incredible, happy thought. Amen. Paul, can I ask you to come? And I want to pray. You know, I look at those cookies. Carla made these cookies. And I look and there's a few leftovers. So if nobody's looking. Thank you, Carla. You know, I remember when I was 6 years old, my mother had made cookies. And she stuck them in the cupboard. And I knew the key to the cupboard. And then she came back later, and she saw that quite a few had been missing. And she said to me, did you take the cookies? And what do you think I said? No. What cookies? And that was not the right thing to say. Because he knew I had stolen those cookies. And see, back then my dad was still there. And he got hold of my dad and he sent me, I think I got a spanking. And he sent me to my room for the rest of the day. And I stole those cookies in the morning. So that was a long day without any food. Isn't it amazing how you remember these things? You know? But he taught me something. It wasn't because I took the cookies. Do you know why? It was because I lied. And he thought, I'm going to teach this boy not to lie. And I brought that with me. I thought, many times since, I thought it would be easy to lie, but because I learned that lesson, no, I'm not going to lie. Amen? Anyway, that was a whole side story. Let's stand, my friends. Father, I just thank you for these wonderful people today. And I pray that anyone here who has a wound in their hearts, a mother wound, then it will bring about healing, God. In some ways, we have all experienced wounds because no parents are perfect. So I also want to pray for parents, mothers, who feel guilty. I want to pray for them also, God, that you bless them. And Father, would you remove the guilt from their hearts and encourage them in Jesus' name? Would you take away, Father, the shame they might carry in their life? Bless them, I pray. And Lord, would you pour into our spirit the truth of who we are in your eyes? No matter what happened in the past, no matter what was done to us, what wasn't done to us, will you bring us out of the past and bring us into that future where we can actually hear your voice, where we can actually hear the Spirit say, you are my son, you are my daughter, and I'm really well pleased with you. Father, bless everyone here, God, to be able to receive that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's end the service with this last song.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name. Didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name.
The Lord bless you. The Lord be gracious to you. May his face turn upon you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord give you his wonderful and amazing peace. As you walk out of this door, may you be his church. May you carry his love in your heart, that you become instrument of his love to the world around you. May God give you an amazing and wonderful Mother's Day. Bless you all. Thank you for coming. God is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. In Jesus' name. If something has been stirred in your heart and you really want to, God to speak to you or heal you, I will open the altar if anybody wants to come. God bless you. God bless your homes. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you.